Chapter 1. First John chapter 1, I'll read the whole chapter. First John is a special book in my life as a Christian. When I got saved, from the first day I was saved, for 30 days I read 1 John every day. After that, sometime after that, I memorized the whole book. So it is quite a special book, 1 John. Some tremendous truths in 1 John. If you haven't read it through, please read it through and meditate upon it. 1 John chapter 1 verse 1 says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. Truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Amen. We know that the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Amen. And I want to try and say that verse, Romans 3:23, in Karen. And so those who can understand me, or maybe understand more than others, will appreciate that. But Romans chapter 3, verse 23, which is Romi asadu thur, asapor kisi thur. Aridi e bakela mata de ba dor de cluni ba ua alagur por ba. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this blessed time now that we can gather around the word of God. We're thankful that, Lord, you love us and you care for us and you want to bless us this time in your word. And, Lord, we look forward to what you're going to do in our midst now, and we give you praise in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. I want to speak this morning about the joy of knowing. In this chapter, verse 1, John says, "These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." The joy of knowing. Now, we live in an uncertain world. There's no question about that. There are things happening today that we're all mindful of. We've read of some of those in Japan. And we have today many people who are saying, "Well, you just can't know anything. You don't know." And they ask, "How can you know?" And "How do you know?" They'll tell us the only things that are certain are taxes and death. Well, even that's not true. I think probably the taxes part is true. But the death part is not even true. We don't know for sure that we will die. You say, "What do you mean?" The Bible says there's a generation who will not see death. And we may be in that generation. That's why I say even death is not sure. If the Lord doesn't come, it is sure, as is appointed unto man once to die. But if the Lord does come, and we are on planet earth, as the Apostle Paul could say, "We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." There is a day coming when the believers will be taken out. They will not taste of death. And so even death is unsure for the saint today. For the unsaved, death is sure. No question about that. Many things in a changing world we live in, but I'm thankful this morning that our God changes not. Amen. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 3, I am the Lord, I change not. I'm thankful this morning that we are meeting before one who changes not. Irrespective of what might happen in the world today, God changes not. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our God and he changes not. And I'm also thankful this morning that there are some things that we can know as Christians. We've looked at this in the past in 1 John. There are some more than 30 times where John writes about things that we can know. Things that we're not just wishing for and hoping for, but things that we can know. And the basis of that, he starts here with these first four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. John said, let me tell you, what I am writing about there, I know about. I have seen, I've looked upon, I've heard, I've handled the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. What's he saying? He's saying the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal life. The Lord Jesus himself said, I am the life. He is eternal life. And John said, we have seen and we have looked upon and we have handled and we have heard from eternal life. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. John says, I'm giving you my first-hand knowledge of what I know to be true about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is eternal life. And then he goes on to write the next four chapters, and there are some, as I've mentioned already, over 30 times where he talks about things he knew about, things that God had revealed to him, things that the eternal life the Lord Jesus had shown to him, things that he knew to be true. And I'm thankful today to say that you and I can know those same things to be true. You and I have not seen the Lord Jesus Christ yet in bodily form. But we can see him through the eye of faith today, seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. We see him through the eye of faith. We don't see him physically. But no less than John, we can say that we know these things are so. When Thomas had doubts, and he came, ultimately the Lord Jesus came to the disciples on the second occasion, and Thomas was there. And Thomas, when he was challenged about his unbelief, he'd said earlier, if I could just see him, if I could just touch him, put my hands in the nail prints, I'd believe. The Lord Jesus appeared to him and to the other disciples, and Thomas fell down before the Lord when he was given the opportunity to touch him. He said, I don't need to touch him. And he fell down and said, my Lord and my God. And the Lord Jesus said, Thomas, blessed art thou because thou hast believed. But let me tell you, he said, blessed are they who have not yet seen and yet believe. That's you and I. And although we haven't seen the Lord Jesus physically, like Thomas and like the other disciples and like the 500 plus witnesses who saw him after the resurrection, and like John, who was caught up into heaven and saw him, and like the Apostle Paul, who was caught up into the third heaven, we haven't yet had that blessing. We're not like Stephen, who was being stoned to death, looked up and saw the Lord Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. You and I have not yet seen him with the physical eye, but through the eye of faith, we see him this morning. And because of that, there are things that we can know. And you notice here in some of these, I'll touch on them in chapter 2. John writes there, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. John says we can know it. This is something that we know. This is not something we're guessing about. In chapter 3, he says there in verse 14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. John said, here's a test to know whether you really are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have a love for the brethren? We know, he says, we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. There is a love for God's people. If we don't have a love for God's people, there's something seriously wrong in our lives. It would indicate normally that we're not saved. Oh, that we're very, very badly backslidden. We know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren, because there's a love for God's people. He goes on there and says in verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. He said, you know that. Someone hates someone else, they don't have eternal life abiding in them. You know that. You have a look in chapter 4, and he says there in verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. He said, do you want to know the Spirit of God? He said, here's a test. Hereby we know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. But notice what he says, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. If you're talking to someone one day and they tell you, no, the Lord Jesus Christ is not God manifest in the flesh, you know that that is not coming from the Spirit of God. You know that's coming from a false spirit, from a spirit of Antichrist. Why? Because the Spirit of God, those who know the Spirit of God, those who are filled with the Spirit of God, they confess that the Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. We know that, John says. He says in verse 6 and 7 and 8, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And so John goes on and keeps saying, there's some things that we know. And I don't know about you, but it's a great comfort and a great blessing in my own heart and life to know there are some things that we can know. And these are more than just temporal things. These are eternal things that we can know. We know that we've passed from death unto life. In John there, chapter 5, verse 13, he says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. If you've never memorized that verse, let me encourage you to memorize it. It'll be a great safeguard when the devil comes along and says, you can't know you're saved. How can you know you're saved? You point back to that verse. You lift up the shield of faith, which is the word of God, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And you point to that verse and say, Satan, John says he's written these things to those who believe on the name of Son of God. That's me, that I may know that I have eternal life. I know that I have it. I know I'm saved. I know I'm a child of God. See, we're not looking for anything uncertain here. Not, well, I don't know. I was talking to someone during the week and I asked them, and they were uncertain about salvation. They were uncertain if they were to die, would they go to heaven? That's a great concern. A great concern when someone says, I don't know. I'm worried for them. I'm concerned for them. It may be just poor teaching that they haven't really understood the scriptures. They may be a young Christian and so aren't fully aware of this marvelous truth that we can know that we have eternal life, and if we're confident that we're absent from the body, we're present from the Lord. But someone who maybe has professed to be a Christian for some time and you ask them and they say, well, I don't know for sure. That's a problem. That's a problem, because the Bible says we can know. We can know. And there's two aspects to this. There's what we would call the objective aspect, that which is testable. The Word of God is what God uses. You have a look, just keep your hand there in 1 John, but Well, you don't have to keep your hand there. John chapter 20. Back to the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the Gospel of John. Notice what John wrote here under the inspiration of the Spirit of God in verse 30 and 31 of John chapter 20. He says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." All right, John says many things that the Lord Jesus did. They're not written in this book. "But these are written that you might believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." God uses his word to bring us to this place of sure knowledge about everlasting life, about salvation. "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ." The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and applies it to our hearts. You have a look in Romans chapter 10. Back to the right a little, Romans chapter 10. This is one reason why we place such an emphasis on the Word of God. It is so critical and so vital for every one of us as believers, but also that the unsaved person hears the Word of God. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do we get to this place of assurance and certainty and be able to say, I know that I know? How does God do that? One reason why he uses the word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Spirit of God uses the word of God to bring us to that place of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. To bring us to that place where we can say, I know that I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and that I have eternal life. The word of God is used for that. God uses that. But then there's the other side. Come back to 1 John again. 1 John chapter 5. And so there is that which is testable. We can test these things. What does God's word say about these things? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Right. We can test what God has said about these matters. But there's also what we would call a subjective side. That's something that it's a little difficult to test when you look at someone else. In other words, when I got saved, nobody knew that other than me. They couldn't see that at that point in time. They heard the word of God, which is we all hear, and we respond one way or another to that. But there's the subjective side, that which is not testable in a physical way. Now there are some tests in the sense that if we love the brethren, if we're living as we ought to live as a Christian, but there's still this subjective side. You have a look in chapter 5 and verse 8. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not, God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. This is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. John writes here and says, not only is there the objective side, in other words, the side of it where we read the scriptures and we say, yes, Christ died for me. Yes, he was buried. Yes, he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Yes, I see that. I believe that. I'm trusting in what God has done for me at the cross of Calvary. I'm believing that. And John says, these things have I written that you might believe that you know. And so I know based on what God says. But I also have this other aspect here in verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. In other words, and I call that subjective. In other words, the Spirit of God, when I get saved, takes up his residence inside of me. Paul put it this way, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Wherefore glorify God in your body and your spirit which are God's. And so when I trust the Lord Jesus as my Savior, when I believe what the truth of the Word of God is, that I'm a sinner and that Christ died for me and rose again, and I trust him, then I have within me the Holy Spirit who is witnessing to my spirit that I'm a child of God. He bears witness to that. In chapter 4 of 1 John, we see the same truth there in verse 24 of chapter 4. I don't think it's verse 24. Unless you've got a different Bible to mine. In verse 13, not verse 24, verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him and he us because he hath given us of his Spirit. We know because he's given us of his Spirit. The Spirit of God bears testimony to my spirit. He witnesses to my spirit. Now you can't see that happening, but I know that the Spirit of God bears testimony to my spirit. Now, there are other outward things that we can look at to see whether someone really is saved. But there's the objective side. God uses his word to bring us to the place of trust and faith in Christ. And then when we've done that, we have the my assurance is based on not how I feel, but what God tells me. But I also have the Spirit of God bearing witness to my spirit. You are now a child of God. See what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 17. John in chapter 17. This is the prayer that the Lord Jesus prayed. In John chapter 17. See what he says here about knowing. Verse 1 says, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Notice verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The Lord Jesus, as he's praying, tells us that life eternal is all about knowing God. Not knowing about God. Right? It's not just believe. Well, I believe God's there. That's a good start, but so does the devil. But the word know here has this idea of knowing in my experience. It's like a relationship. I know my wife. We have a relationship. I know her. You know people in your family. You have a relationship with them. You know friends, you have a relationship with them. You know other brothers and sisters in Christ, you have a relationship with them. That's the idea of the word know. This is life eternal. They might know thee, the only true God. We have a relationship with God. This is something that's sure, that is settled, that we can know. We don't guess, is God here, is he there, where is he? No, we know. I want to have a look at one more in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy and chapter 1, just across again to the right. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll see the Apostle Paul's testimony. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says in verse 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." That's what he says now. "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed." Paul says, "I suffer many things as a preacher of the gospel, but I'm not ashamed." Why not? "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." The apostle Paul said, "Let me tell you something. I know whom I have believed." It's a blessing, isn't it? I know whom I believe. I haven't seen the Lord Jesus with my physical eyes, but I know him. I know whom I have believed. It's more than knowing what I believe. And you and I ought to know what we believe. But it's greater than that. It's knowing whom we believe. It's having that relationship with the Lord Jesus spoke about. We know some things, but more importantly, we know someone. We know the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him or do you know about him? See, there's a difference between the two. We can know about the Lord Jesus, but do we know him? Do you know him? We're not asking, are you guessing? We're not asking whether you hope so, but do you know him? As the Apostle Paul could say, "I know whom I have believed." I know him. What did John say? And we'll finish with what John said. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." And I trust this morning that you and I would know something of the reality of that, that our joy is full. Our joy in knowing that we know that we know. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God. For Lord, we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. We know that the Spirit of God applies the Word of God to our thoughts, to our hearts, to our minds, and brings us to that place where we are able to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And Lord, not with an uncertainty, but with the witness of the Spirit of God himself, bearing testimony to our spirit that we are the sons of God. And Father, what an incredible blessing that is. And as we started out by saying, Lord, we live in a world that's got many uncertainties, many questions, many doubts, people wondering, will the world end soon? And all the things that people worry about, the uncertainties of life. In the midst of that, Lord, we can say with the Apostle Paul, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." What a privilege it is, dear Father, to be one of the sons of God. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the Spirit of God. We thank you that we can know that we have eternal life. But Father, maybe someone here this morning can't say with that same assurance, they know that they have eternal life. They know whom they have believed. Lord, if there's someone like that this morning, I pray that through thy Word, by thy Spirit, you might bring them to that place of recognizing that they are a sinner. They need to turn from their sin and their ways, and they might believe, they might trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as the one who died for their sin on the cross of Calvary, who shed his blood for the price of their sins, who rose again the third day from the grave that they might be saved. Father, is anybody like that this morning that needs to be saved? May you, by your grace, by your Spirit, bring them to that place of repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.